Okay, so the as I was trying to get into this story, so this story is really can be quite confusing at multiple levels. We'll see what we can get through of it. But in Bamidbar Perek Yud, Baloscha, so we get the story of in the middle of our discussion of travel. We get the story of Chovav ben Reuel, Chotein Moshe, who comes to the Jewish people, and Moshe requests that he should stay. Now, this story is very, very similar to a story that we had a long time ago in Yitro, when, beginning of Parshas Yitro, so Yitro comes, who's also Chotein Moshe, and he comes as well. He comes to the Jewish people, and he gives advice to Moshe in terms of how to run the legal system, the court system. And again, Moshe, requests that he stay. So I want to try to analyze that story, but really to analyze that story, there's three totally different things we need to do. So one, first I'll set out what we have to do, and then we'll try to actually do it. And the first thing is try to figure out the relationship between the story in Shmot and the story here, which will require us to figure out who these people are, Chovav and Yitro, because there are traditions that Chovav and Yitro are the same person. And if Chovav and Yitro are the same person, then you have to figure out, okay, is this the same story? If it's the same story, so why is it repeated here, and why isn't the whole story told in one place? Are Yitro and Chovav different people? Could it be the same person, but he came back twice? And could this just be the story from Bamidbar? Or if Chovev and Yitro are two different people, so then who are they? Are they both Chotein Moshe? What does Chotein Moshe mean? So that's going to be sort of the first part. The second part is that the end of the story, as we'll see in a moment, it doesn't actually tell us whether Chovev, whoever he is, stayed. Moshe requests for him to stay, but we never hear whether he stays. So you've got to figure out whether he stayed. And then the third question is try to figure out, well, why exactly did Moshe want him to stay? And what exactly is going on? What was it that Moshe wanted from him? And why does this story appear where it does in Bamidbar, in the middle of the travel log? So if we go to the sources, so I just gave you one pasuk from the story in Shmot, which after Yitro had come and given all the advice, so Vayishlach Moshe et chotno vayilach lo arzo. Moshe sent away his chotein, Yitro. Now, as we'll see, the problem with the word chotein is chotein classically means brother-in-law, but it could mean father-in-law. So some people will say that Yitro is his father-in-law. Some people will say Yitro is not Moshe's father-in-law at all. He's his brother-in-law. But whoever he is, Yitro is sent home. He leaves. In Bamidbar Yod, in number 2, so as I said, in the middle of the travelogue, you hear as follows, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe l'emor, Asir lecha shtei chatzotot kesef, Mikshata aseh otam, Vayu lecha l'mikra, Ida l'masa ad l'machanot. So God tells him, make 2 silver trumpets, and you'll use them to call the nation as you're traveling. Vayesu b'nei Yisrael ma'aseihem, Bar Sinai, Veshkanan amrin bar Paran. So the Jews, a few psukim later, are traveling. Vayesu b'rishana al pi Adonai b'yad Moshe. And then in this middle of this story of how they traveled, when they traveled, so in Pasuk Chavded, we find out, Vayom Moshe l'Chovav ben Reuel amidyani chotein Moshe. Moshe tells Chovav ben Reuel, from Midyan, the chotein Moshe, again, father-in-law, brother-in-law, Nosim anachnu l'makom asher amar Hashem oto etein lochem. We're traveling to the place where God said he's going to give to us, which, as we've mentioned, should have happened only a few weeks after this incident. I mean, not even a few weeks, a few days. It's an 11-day journey. So he says, L'chaitanu, come with us, ve'itavnu l'chaitanu, it'll be good for you. Ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael, because God has spoken well of Yisrael, or for Yisrael. Vayomrei lav lo eilech, ki emel arti ve'el molati eilech. He said, no, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back to my land. And then what's strange is he says, Vayomer al natazov otanu. Don't leave us, right? So the first time he said it sounded like a suggestion. It didn't sound very desperate. Right? Sounds, you know, you should come for us. It's going to be good. Then Chovav says, no, I don't really want to come. I'm going to go home. And now Moshe suddenly gets desperate, right? Al na tazovotanu. He changes his tone. No, please don't desert us. Ki al kein yadata chanotenu b'midvar. V'yita lanu laying naim. Because you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you can be our guide, right? Suddenly, Moshe's not just like, oh, it'll be good. He's like, please, like, you know what it's like to live in the desert. I don't know. We don't know. Help. Vayaki teleche manu vayatovahu asher hitiv Adonai manu v'tavnu lach. And this time he says, and don't worry, it's not just come with us because God has blessed us. It'll be good for you too, right? It's desperation, and he's saying, and it's going to be good for you. He's offering him something. And then the story just ends. Vayisume har Adonai derech shlosh yamim aron b'yonai noseh levnehem derech shlosh yamim latur lahem menucha. And they travel for 3 days in the Aron, holding the covenant of God, travels in front of them for 3 days to find them, rest for them. Vanan Adonai alehem yomam minasam minam achane. And the God of, the cloud of God is on them during the day when they're traveling. Vayi ben Aron vayom Moshe kum Adonai vavutzo ivecha vinyusam minasanecha mifanecha. And when it would travel, God would say, Moshe would say, God, disperse your enemies, and may they flee from you. And when the Aron would rest, Yomar Shuvah Adonai Revot Alfei Yisrael, he would say, oh, legions, myriads of thousands, right, come back, right, come back, God, to Bnei Yisrael. So, you see already in the story, that's a bit weird, right? It's, first, Moshe is like, oh yeah, come along. And he says, no, I don't want to come along. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, Moshe is desperate. And then, the story never tells you whether he comes. It just sort of drops in the middle of the conversation. We don't even know if he's there, if he leaves, if he goes home. We have no idea what happened. So, like I said, the first question you got to figure out is, okay, well, how many stories are there really in Torah? There was that first story where we know that Yitro, whoever Yitro is, leaves and goes back home. Chovav, we're not sure. Are these two different stories? And that, in turn, is predicated on the question of who are these people, Yitro and Chovav? And this is going to get very confusing, so I gave you a chart, and we're not even going to do all the positions. But let me outline the possibilities. There are many people in Moshe's life, in Midian, in Tzipora's family. There is Reuel. There is Chovav. There is Yitro. There is Yeter. Right? There are a lot of people. There is one tradition, right, in Chazal, that all these people are the same person, right, that they're all Yitro. They're all Moshe's father-in-law, and he has seven names. Now, if it is the same person, then that means that it's at least now possible that the story in Shmot of Yitro and the story in Baalotcha of Chovav are really the same story, or it's possible that Yitro went home, as he said in Parshat Yitro, he went back to Midian and came back a second time and then wanted to return home a second time. And then maybe he did or maybe he didn't. There's a total another tradition that, no, there are two types of relationships that Moshe has with Midianites. One is Reuel, who is his father-in-law. Everybody else are his brothers-in-law. Yitro, Chovav, all those people are his brothers-in-law. And then there are positions that mix and match, right? That, no, either Yitro might be the same as Reuel, but Chovav might be a brother-in-law. There's all types of possibilities. But just to sort of get an idea, where does all this come from? So, the first time we meet whoever these people are is in Shmot Perek Bet. Vatavon el Reuel avihen vayomar maduah mi harten bo hayon. So, Moshe, for the first time, goes, after he saves the daughters of Reuel, they get home, and he says, how did you get home so early today? So they say, well, an Egyptian man saved us from the harassment of the shepherds, and he helped us draw the water. We know this, that was how, this was the first shidduch of Moshe. What are you doing? Right, the guy helped you out. Invite him for dinner. And it turns out he didn't just have in mind dinner, and he comes for a meal, and he ends up marrying Sipara, who is the daughter of Reuel. So Reuel is clearly Moshe's father-in-law. The next time we meet any of these people is in Shmot Yudchet, where Yitro comes and brings Sipara And the children back to Moshe, right? They had been in Midian while he was in Mitzrayim, so he brings them to meet Moshe. Now, at that point, Chazal and Rashi reflect this tradition, tell you that this is the same person, the same father-in-law. And Rashi tells us, Yitro, Sheva, Shemo, Nikru, Ulo, all these names are Yitros, there are seven people. Reuel, Yeter, Yitro, Chovav, Chever, Keni, Putiel. And then Chazal go through why each of them is named, why he's named each of these, right? Yitro, right? Yeter, because he's an extra parsha added in the Torah, Chovav, because he's beloved, right, etc. But Chazal understand that Reuel, Yitro, Chovav, they're all the same person. And I drew heavily on Al HaTorah on this source sheet, because originally I tried putting all the sources, and at some point I realized if I put all the primary sources, it was like 20 pages long. So I just, at some point, gave you summaries of it. The problem with assuming this is, if you go back to our parsha, Chovav is identified as Chovav ben Reuel. Chovav is the son of Reuel, meaning the simple pshat in the Torah is that Reuel is Moshe's father-in-law. Chovav is his son-in-law. He's his son, meaning Moshe's brother-in-law. So I gave you an other summary, right? Identifying both Chovav and Reuel with Yitro creates an almost insurmountable difficulty in understanding the words Chovav ben Reuel, right? This is a very difficult problem that Chazal have to deal with. The alternative is the Chotein position, that this position solves all the Yitro Reuel Chovav problems by employing just a single method of giving multiple names to neighbors and need not to resort to expanding semantics of the term Chotein beyond its basic meaning of father-in-law, right? The advantage of the position is to assume that Chotein means father-in-law. It always means father-in-law. But the problem is, and that's what I gave you for our purposes, is that the real sort of, besides the linguistic problem, how do you understand the words Chovav ben Reuel? There's really no way of dealing with that problem. You just have to assume it's lav dafka, right? It's whatever. But it forces you to ask the question, what's going on in our story? Meaning, if Chovav, Yitro, Reuel are all the same person, so why is there one story in Shmot Yudchet of Yitro coming and then Chovav coming in, who's the same person, in Bamidbar Yud? So that's what they continue with here. And he says, identifying Chovav and Yitro necessitates an examination of the relationship between the stories of Yitro's departure in Shmot 18 and Moshe asking Chovav to remain with the nation in Bamidbar Yud. Why would Moshe send Yitro away in Shmot Yudchet? Right, sorry, I said he sends him away in Yudchet. In Yudchet, he sends him away, right? In Shmot, he sends him away. In Bamidbar Yud, he asks him to stay. Now, why the first time would he tell him to leave, and why would he tell him to stay in Bamidbar Yud? So the Midrash, in the Mechilta, Relazar Hamodai, who is the person who says that Moshe, that one of the people who says, anyways, that Yitro, Chovav, Reuel are all the same person, his solution is to conflate the two stories, to say there really is only one story here, right? It's just recorded in two places. The problem is, if it's one story, then how can Shmot say that Moshe sent him away and Bamidbar tell you that he begged him to stay? Those aren't easily reconciled. So he reinterprets the word Vayishlach, right, in Shmot Yudchet, Vayishlach Moshe El Kohanot, that he sent him away, as he gave him gifts. He didn't actually send him away, he gave him gifts, whatever. In contrast, according to Yeshua and Mechiltas, developed in Peirush HaRosh, Moshe actively sent Yitro away in the first year so that he would not be present for the Decalogue, meaning for Aseret HaDibrot. Later, though, when Yitro came back, after the revelation, Moshe requested that he remain with the people, and Yitro assented. The alternative within Chazal is to say, no, Chovav, Yitro are the same person, and in fact, Moshe did send him away. But there's two stories. Moshe didn't want him there for Matan Torah, so he went home. But then he came back in year two. And year two, Moshe said, hey, just stay. There's no problem. He didn't want him there for the Aseret HaDibrot. But he told him, long term, I would like you with us. So the Midrash that's mentioned here is number 6. Vayishlach Moshe et chodno, shebishu omer shilchu b'chvodo shel olam. Rishua said, Shalchu means he sent him away. He sent him out with honor, but he sent him away. It just means he gave him gifts. Shemitoch, tshuva, shenaton lo atala made. He said, how do I know? Rabbi Lazar Amodai in the Midrash says, how do I know that Moshe never actually sent him away? Right? Vayishlach means he gave him gifts, I don't know, and sent him to his tent or something. Right? How do I know? You said Yitro equals Chovav, and in Bamidbar Yod, he begs him not to stay. So how can you tell me that he sends him away? It doesn't make any sense. He says, Al Natsa Dovo Tanu. What did he say to him? Amar lo, atan natan lo, en etza tova, etza yafav, amakom, modal divarecha. And then he adds something, right? We noted that in Bamidbar Yod, here's Moshe begging him to stay. He said, why is he begging him? So he said, well, if you understand both stories together, then what happened in Yitro? He gave this amazing advice. He restructured the entire legal system, the leadership system. So he said, you gave good advice. God agreed to you. Al na tazobu tanu. Don't leave me. Right? You are the best advice I could possibly have. Amar lom kluma ner mahaneh el b'makom achoshech. So he responded to him, look, you know why I want to go? Because a candle is only beneficial when there's darkness. V'chi mahaneh mahaneh ben chama levana. But you don't need a candle when the sun and the moon are there. Right? You only enlighten something which is dark. He said, Atachama, Aron Achicha Levana. I don't need to be with the Jewish people. You're the sun, Aron's the moon. I'm a candle, what am I going to do? Ella, Harem Yolech, Larzi, Vagayer, Lechol, Vinivinati, Vagayim, Lotamut Torah, Vakravim, Tachal, Kanvei Shechina. So I'm going to go back to Midian. I'm going to bring people back in Tshuva, because there I can have a better influence. I'm going to do Kiruv in Midian. I'm going to spread the name of God outside. That's why I want to leave. Yachol shalach v'lo asa. So you might have thought that he went and didn't do this. Talmud lomar v'nei keini chotan Moshe alu me'ir atzmarim v'omer v'yelech v'yeshev et ha'am. Right? So it turns out, right, that he seems to have gone and been successful. So this is the midrash that we quoted. Now, but so far, again, we'll try not to focus on the names. So we try to focus on who says what. It'll get a bit confusing. But one possibility is to say this is the same story, and he never left. Right? That he wanted to leave, never left, or he didn't even want to leave, he never left. Another possibility is to say, as Rabbi Shua said, no, he really did leave. But it's possible that he went back to do Kirov and then returned, right? That in, or he left for Matan Torah and returned. So if you look in 7, I've summarized a few of the positions, and the whole, if you want all the possible permutations of who Yitro is, so I gave you the chart from Al HaTorah. This was like incredible, but you can see how complicated this gets at the bottom, right? It's either Yitro equals Reuel's father, right? Or Yitro equals Reuel, or Yitro equals Reuel's son, right? So there's three possibilities, right? Either the Yitro is the father, Reuel is the brother-in-law, right? Yitro's father-in-law, Reuel's brother-in-law, or Yitro and is the same person as Reuel who's the father-in-law, or Reuel is the father-in-law and Yitro is the son-in-law. Those are three possibilities, right? Now that would, as you see in the next line, right? That would either make Yitro her grandfather, right? Yitro, then Reuel, then Tzipporah, or Yitro is Tzipporah's father, or Yitro is Tzipporah's brother, right? All those are possible. And then in terms of Yitro and Chovav, so Yitro, if he's Reuel's father, and Chovav is a brother-in-law, so Yitro is his grandfather. If Yitro is Reuel, he might also be Chovav, and in which case they're all siblings too. They're all the father-in-law. Alternatively, Yitro and Chovav are brothers-in-law. Reuel is the father, and Yitro and Chovav are the siblings of Tzipporah. You can see all the permutations. There's like a million permutations of this, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 different permutations of this. I just gave it to you because I don't want to get into all of them. But for our purposes, what's important is trying to figure out this story is Yitro and Chovav, again, if they're the same person, you've got to figure out why in one place is he sending him away. Relazar Modai says it never happened. He never sent him away. Yeshua said, yeah, he did send him away because... or he decided to leave because he wanted to be Makariv or whatever. If you look in 7, so they summarize. Again, I did a lot of summaries here just to get through things. So, Chovav and Bamidbar Yud. Ramban and Shadal both agree that Yitro and Chovav are the same person. But they disagree as to how many visits he made and what ultimately became of him. Ramban thinks that Yitro converted, and he consequently assumes that Yitro, Chovav, Vashkovav acceded to Moshe's request to remain with the children of Israel. Therefore, Ramban says Yitro traveled back and forth, going back in the first year to convert his family, but returning in the second year and ultimately remaining with the nation. Right? So how does the Ramban square all these together? He says Yitro and Chovav are the same person, but why did he leave in Yitro and stay in Baal Osa? Because, as the Midrash said, he wanted to first do a little bit of Kiruv amongst his family, so he spent a year, went back to Midian, and then he came back and he joined the Jewish people, and this time he stayed. So the first time Moshe said, look, go back, you want to be Makari of your family, Bechavot. The second time he came and Moshe said, okay, you've done your job, you've done your shlichut, right? Now it's time, come home, come with us, right? You're part of the family, join us, join the Jewish people. That's how Ramban understands this. According to Shadal, however, Yitro Chovav arrived in the first year, and they remained until the second year, but did not convert. Right? Shadal says, no. The story in Baal Otzcha is actually a continuation of the story in Yitro, meaning it was Yitro is telegraphing the end of it. Right? Yitro is saying, eventually Moshe sent him away. Not now, meaning it's only one story. It just took 2 years. Meaning he stayed for a while. Right? He stayed for a bit. He stayed for a whole year. Yitro tells you how he came, and then the end just says, and Moshe sent him back. It doesn't mean he sent him back then. It means he eventually sent him back. And the way you read the story is, Yitro comes in year one, stays for a year through Matan Torah, and then in the middle of year two, he says, you know what, it's time to go home. Moshe says, don't leave us. And he says, no, I really got to leave. And then Yitro says, look, I know you don't want me to leave, but I'm going home. And once he decides to go home, so Moshe sent him home with gifts, which is what you heard. And you just have to read the two stories together in one big story. But just keep in mind, till the end, is the big question you have to ask according to the Shadal is, okay, but then why is the story written the way it is? Meaning, I can explain the narrative. He came in year one, he stayed till year two, and year two he decided to leave. Moshe didn't want him to, but once he did, he sent him with gifts. But why then didn't you either tell us the whole story at the beginning or the whole story at the end? Why do you borrow some psukim, put it in Bereishis, and make it sound, and sorry, in Shmos, and make it sound like it's two stories? This seems like a thematic connection to Bamidbar, and that's why you had to place here, or a thematic connection to Shmos. And that's what we'll come back to. Now, according to him, Shmot 18:27 describes the same departure of Yitro that happened only in Bamidbar 10 in the second year. Now, Mendelssohn in the Biur posits that Yitro and Chovav were not the same person, but rather brothers, and thus there's no contradiction between Yitro's departure in Shmot 18 and Chovav's presence in Bamidbar 10. Right. So Mendelssohn takes the position that Yitro and Chovav, right, Reuel is the father. Yitro and Chovav are two different brothers-in-law, and he has a very simple way of reading the story. Yitro comes in year one, brings Tzipora and the kids, and says, I'm going home. So Moshe says, okay. Sends him with gifts. Year two, a different brother-in-law comes, right? He has a lot of brothers-in-law. This time Chovav comes, and I don't know, Moshe liked Chovav, so he said, he really liked Chovav, so he said, stay. And Yitro went home. Chovav didn't go home. Chovav stayed. That's how he reads the story. Now, Ibn Kasbi assumes Yitro is Chovav, and therefore he needs to say that Yitro traveled back and forth, going home in the first year, but returning in the second year, like Ramban. Chizkuni and Peir Sharash also assume that Chovav and Yitro are the same person, but they offer a psikta-based alternative. Namely, that maybe it's not that Yitro went away like for a whole year. Maybe Moshe sent Yitro away temporarily so that he would not be present for the revelation at Sinai, and then Yitro returned to Israelite camp immediately after the Decalogue. And that's based on number 8, that the Midrash suggests that Moshe didn't want Yitro there just for the period of Matan Torah. Now, I have to admit that I couldn't fully complicate this story. The full complication of the story is there's yet another machlokas of when did the Yitro story happen, before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah. I had to cut that out because that's really a shmos topic. So I just left it. But the psikta says that Moshe didn't want Yitro, who didn't convert, to be there during Matan Torah, because Matan Torah was for the Jews, right? Elu Yisrael v'simchato liyitarev zar, ze Yitro v'yishlach Moshe t'chotno v'yelech ol artzo, maktiv batrei v'chodesh, etc. So the psikta says that for the period of Matan Torah, Yitro had to be away. So based on that, the Chizkuni and the Rosh to say, yeah, why are there two stories? Because Yitro came, Then they were about to have Matan Torah. Moshe said, go home and come back and visit. In Bamidbar, you find out that he came back and after Matan Torah, and Moshe said, this time, it's time for you to stay. The Ibn Ezra assumes that there is only one story, that all of this happens later, meaning it all happens in year two, not like the Shadal's position that he stayed for 2 years, but he actually only came in year two. So according to him, so then he asked the question, okay, according to Ibn Ezra, if the whole year, this whole story happened in year two, meaning in Bamidbar, so it makes sense why the story appears in Bamidbar. Why does any of it appear in Yitro? So if you look at number 9, Ibn Ezra says, "Lufi dati, shlo barak b'shana shenit achar shehu kama mishkan." The whole story happens year two. V'ata afareis, lama nechnesa parshat Yitro b'makom hazeh. So then why is part of the story confusing us, and it was in Shmot? Because the Torah wanted to show you that not all non-Jews are bad, right? We just fought a war with Amalek, and the Torah wanted to present a balanced picture and said, this isn't Jews versus non-Jews. It's Amalek versus the Jews. And, you know, how do we balance the picture? Well, we have a really good relationship with Yitro. We have a really bad relationship with Amalek, so we put the two stories together, but really the whole story happens in Bamidbar. V'katuva yichad Yitro, called Dovare. Yitro, unlike Amalek, rejoices when good things happen to the Jews. V'natan lam eitzah tovah, gives them good advice, v'nochona l'moshe l'Yisrael, u'moshe omar lo, Moshe even tells him, ayita lanu la'inayim, v'atar she'arinayim, he thanks him for having enlightened him, and the like. I gave you the Ramban in the inside of number 10, which is, as I mentioned, the position that he went away and then came back in the second year. So, just to summarize this, though, right, it's complicated, but let's just go through it again. Okay, if Chovav and Yitro were two different people, right, for whatever reason, Yitro is the grandfather, Yitro is the father, Yitro is a different brother, however you want to work out that Yitro is not Chovav, so there are two separate stories that happened. Yitro then clearly goes home. Chovav, we don't know, right? Chovav, the Torah leaves open, and then we got to figure out whether he went home or not, whether he acquiesced to Moshe's request to stay. If you think Chovav and Yitro are the same person, either father-in-law or brother-in-law, whoever you think he is, but if he's the same person, so then you have two possibilities. Either this is the same story, well, you have more than two possibilities. You have several possibilities. If Yitro is the same person as Chovav, so then, either this is one extended story, and he was there for a year and a bit. He came now, and when the Torah says he sent him home, it's just telescoping what's going to happen later, in a year from now. It doesn't mean he sent him home in Shmot, before Matan Torah. It means he's going to send him home, and when he sends him home, he's going to send him home with gifts. And then if I wanted to just construct the whole story, it would go like this. Yitro comes in year one, gives Moshe advice, is there for Matan Torah, hangs out for a year. At the end, Moshe says, I really don't want you to leave. He says, I really do want to leave. Moshe said, don't leave. He says, I really do want to leave. So Moshe says, okay, so go home, and sends him with a nice goodbye party, and that's the story, right? That's how Shadal views the story. Ibn Ezra takes it is one story, not a year-long story, it's in fact a short story, and it all happens in year two. Yitro comes in year two, hangs out for a little bit, says, here's your family, I brought Tzipora, I brought the kids. Now, interestingly, according to that interpretation, Tzipora and the kids seem not to be there for Matan Torah, right? That's what comes out from this story, which is interesting. But they come in year two. Why then do we even hear about it at all in Shmot? He just said, because the Torah wants to let you know that there are good non-Jews and there are bad non-Jews. Amalek is bad. Yitro is an example of someone who's good and rejoices. And it wants just to balance this story. And that's how it appears. The third possibility is what Ramban says, or Midrash says, different versions of this, which is that it's the same person, but he left and came back. Now, either he left very shortly, just because Moshe didn't want him there for Matan Torah, or he left for a year to do some Kirov in Midian, and then he came back, So those are basically the three ways of understanding the connection of the stories, right? Either it all happened in Shemot, same person, all happened in Bamidbar, same person who came twice, or different people, and therefore two different stories. Now, whoever this person is, so did he acquiesce and stay? So, what evidence do we have to figuring out whether he stayed? So, if you're Shadal, and you think that this is one long story, then the answer is, he didn't stay. Because Yitro tells us that Yitro went home. And if you think that these are just two parts of the same story, so then we know that Bamidbar tells you that Moshe begged him to stay, Shemot tells you that he didn't agree, and so Moshe instead made a goodbye party. He wanted him to stay, but he said, I get it, you want to go home? Go home. But there's good reason to believe that he did stay. And most of the Mefarshim assume that he did stay. Now, why is that? Because if you look, I gave you 11, 12, 13, and these aren't the only ones. If you look throughout Navi, we find out that the Mishpachat HaKeni, right, so V'nei Keni, Chotein Moshe, Alu Me'eretz Marimid, B'nei Yehuda, Midbar Yehuda, Asher Menegev Arad, Ve'elech Vayeshev Adam. The descendants of the Keni, the Chotein Moshe, that magic word, the Chotein Moshe, are living, right, they went with Yehuda, and they lived in Midbar Yehuda, and in Shoftim, in number 12, it's not just the Keni. We find out that the descendants of Chovav, right, they live there. Right? Now, who's Chever HaKeni? Is, yeah, right, is the wife, the husband of Yael. Right? Yael Eshet Chever HaKeni. So the Jews are at war with Sisra, and then Sisra, the enemy general, runs away, and he finds Yael Eshet Chever HaKeni. She invites him in, thinking, and he thinks that she's going to protect him. Instead, she drives the peg through his head and then gives Sisra to Barak, and says, "Look, I killed your enemy." And you understand why are the Keni on good terms with the Jews, such that they are, killing the enemy general and getting involved in a war that's not their own, because the Keni, according to Shoftim, are the children of Chovav, Chotein Moshe. They're just family. And when Moshe had said to Chovav, stay, it'll be good for you, we'll give you some land, that's what happened. They came to Eretz Israel and they lived among the Jews. They were part of the culture. In Shmuel, you find them living amongst the Amaleki. Vayomer Shaul HaKeni, when Shaul comes to fight against against Amalek, he tells the Keni, leave, because if you stay near the Amaleki, we'll kill you too. But you've been kind to us. So the Keni left Amalek. Now Shadal cannot believe that these are actually the relatives of Yitro, of Moshe, because he said, why would they be living amongst the Amaleki? Who are these people? And therefore, he says these Keni are some other people, right? And how does he understand in Shoftim when there is the children of the Keni, Chovav, Chotein, Moshe? He says it's some other, relatives that came later. This is not part of our story. Like, it's possible, right? They were nomads, so they came later. Who knows? But most of the Mefarshim derive from here that somebody had to stay, right? Because the simplest explanation in Torah is, if we know a few generations later the children of Chovav, Chotein Moshe, live amongst the Jewish people, and Moshe had begged Chovav, Chotein Moshe to stay, the simplest conclusion is that Chovav said yes, and that's why he's with the Jews, and that's why they're living amongst the Jewish people. Now, there is a way of solving this, which is what the Sfarno does in 14. Sfarno said, you know what, that doesn't prove anything about Chovav. It proves that eventually the people of Chovav, the family of Chovav, moved with the Jewish people. But if you look in 14, to the second line, it says, Avol b'nei Yitro halchu im Yisrael, laretz b'li tzaveg. It said the children, right, didn't come. Right? The line that said, before that, he said, "Vizeh ulai mitzad zikunuto," right? Maybe he didn't want to come because he was old, right? He said, look, I have no problem living with the Jews, but I'm elderly, I'm happy where I am, but the families are always friendly, so maybe the children came. And that's who we're talking about. So some Mefarshim, like Sfarno, say no. Chovav really turned them down. He went home. How do you find the relatives? Well, the relatives came, right? The relatives traveled later. But in 15, I gave you again, from Allah Torah, some Mefarshim went even farther and said, no, not only did he not go with them, in fact, he never joined Yisrael. Right? According to Malbim and Shadal, Yitro came the first year, stayed until the second year, and when he went home, and then he went home. Right? Kasut, on the other hand, holds that Yitro first arrived only in the second year after building of the tabernacle and left as the nation was about to leave Sinai second year. Now, according to these commentators, Yitro and Chovav are the same person, and the departure described in Shemot is equivalent to the story in Bamidbar. Yitro's leaving is mentioned in Shemot only to complete the pericope, Lashimidan Yan. But the event actually took place only in the second year, described in Bamidbar, where the full parting conversation is recorded. Right, conversion, Yitro's decision to leave. According to Shadal Kasuto, Yitro does not convert. Shadal points out that had Yitro converted, it would not make sense that he would insist on returning to Midian when Moshe asked him to join the nation. Malbim, however, thinks Yitro did convert. He explains that Yitro thought he could contribute more by returning to his land and teaching others to believe in Hashem. Now, Shadal attempts to show that there's no evidence of any of Yitro's descendants being a part of the children of Israel. If they had, it would be implausible they'd be on good terms with or living amongst enemies such as the Canaanites, the Sisera, and the Amalekites, etc. But again, that's very hard. So some say, right, okay, it's hard to say that no one ever came. You can say that Yitro himself didn't come, and you can say, like the Smyrna, Yitro himself didn't stay, but his children came back. It's very hard to justify what Shadal says, though he does really, really try. But you can say, and this is the next section, that only Yitro's family joined, that Yitro did not return, but his relatives either stayed or later joined the nation. So this position subdivides regarding the identity of these relatives. So either Yitro never returned, but Chovav remained. So just to summarize, I'll just read this position outside. So one position is just, Yitro goes home, Chovav stays, and that's why you find the children of Chovav. But Chovav ran into them in second year. Now Shadal, Hovel Moshe, suggests that Chovav therefore does remain. Yitro doesn't, but Chovav does. I'm sorry, Shadal actually does. He only thinks Yitro didn't stay. He thinks Chovav did stay. And when it says that Yitro was sent away, that's Yitro, that's not Chovav. There is the other possibility, and that's in the next unit, that Yitro and Chovav never returned, especially if you think Yitro and Chovav are the same person. But, now why would he leave? There's three possibilities here. Either, as the Midrash said, he went back to convert the people of Midian, or he was sick, as Sfarno implies, he was elderly. Abarbanel just says, look, he just didn't feel like staying. I don't know, he just didn't want to stay. And they say it was the children of Yitro and Chovav, who eventually joined the Jewish people, but not Chovav himself. And the last possibility is, as we've already seen, the Ramban, Chizkuni, the Rosh, and all those who say that in the first year he'd left, he'd gone home, but the second year he left and he stayed. Okay, so unit one is the first question we asked is, how many stories are there? One or two stories? The second question we asked is, does Yitro stay? So, if you think they're the same story, so then no, he doesn't stay at all. If you think that Yitro and Chovav are different people, so you could say Yitro went home and Chovav stayed. If you think Yitro and Chovav are the same person, you could also say, like the Ramban, that he went home for a year, then came back, and then stayed. And all those positions will explain how is it that we eventually find relatives of Chovav, of Yitro, amongst the Jewish people. Easy. At some point, he stayed. The other possibility is to say, no, he actually went home. How do you find relatives of Chovav amongst the Jewish people later on? It must be that the relatives eventually came a few generations later, or some of them, the Mefarshim, say, no, maybe they didn't come at all. Maybe they were just nomadic. So every so often they would pop up in Israel. They didn't actually never moved into Israel. They were just nomads. Sometimes they were there. Sometimes they were other places. Fine. That's, unit two, which again, like unit one, is complicated, right? There are many possibilities that Yitro Yitro himself stayed. Yitro went home temporarily and came back. Yitro left and Chovav stayed. Yitro and Chovav didn't stay, but their children stayed, whoever they are. Which brings me to the last section here, which is an article by Yoni Grossman. He asks what I think is two very good questions. One is, why is it so unclear whether he stayed? Right? Why? The only thing that is clear by the end of this is that the Torah went out of its way to obfuscate what actually happened. Meaning, whatever you think happened, you always have to ask the question, well, if the Torah didn't tell you and left it open, it must have done that on purpose. It's so confusing. We don't even know. We don't know who Yitro is, Ruel is, Chovav is. We don't know how many times they came, when they came, if he left, if he didn't. His relatives show up generations later. We don't know if it's because he was there, he wasn't there. We have no idea, right? And all the Mefarshim are you know, doing backflips, trying to figure out identity, figuring out chronology, figure out who's there. Simple question: why don't you just tell us, right? Isn't that a fundamental question? When whatever the answer to all these questions, why do you never bother telling us? The second question he asks is, why is Moshe so desperate for him to stay? And his third question, which is really the linking of these, is, doesn't that just make it deeper? Meaning, Moshe, it's not like whether Chovav stays or doesn't stay is accidental to the story. Like, Moshe begs him. He's desperate for him to stay, and despite the fact that he's desperate and begging, the Torah still doesn't tell you whether he acquiesced, and you have to try to figure it out based on identities and chronologies and relatives that are found. He said, especially when Moshe is absolutely desperate for him to stay, why don't you just tell us whether it's a cliffhanger, right? It just ends, even if it's true, he stayed, so why is it I have to figure out and show to him that, oh, look, the children of Chever HaKeni, Chotein Moshe, live in Israel, it must be he stayed. If it's so important to the Torah to highlight Moshe's desperation, so then just tell us, did he stay or not? Why are you, right? It's like, you know, it's like a movie, right? These romantic movies, right? They end, you know, they're supposed to end with you finding out, did they get married, right? Or did they not get married, right? You don't end with the desperate plea and then the movie just ends, right? And then, like, the sequel, you know, you meet their grandkids, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, but that's what's happening, right? Is you don't know, the movie just ends, but why would you do that? So what he says, which I think is fascinating, is he said, let's look back at the story. And he said, what's weird about the story is that it appears in the middle of the travelogue, right? And all the stories of the travel, make the chatzot road, right? Blow the when you're ready to travel, so blow the trumpets, the ohel will travel, will represent God. Why, of all places, does the story of Chovav appear in the middle of the story of how the Aron, I mean, instead of telling us whether he stays, instead the Torah picks up where it left off, which is that while the Jews are traveling, they follow the Aron. Why does it appear here? So Yoni Grossman suggests that all these questions can be answered with one thing, with the same answer, which is the point of all the travel stories in Bamidbar is to tell you that God is the one who leads the Jewish people. Moshe doesn't quite get that at this point in the story. Right? He said, look back at the story. Vayomer Moshe lechovav, right back in number two, all the way to the beginning, right? Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Ruel midyani chotein Moshe nosim anachnu al makom. Hashem amar Hashem oto etein lechem lecha itanu veitavnu lecha ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. So first Moshe says, come with us, it's going to be good. Vayomer lov lo edlech. Kim al shim vel molati elech. He says, I don't want to, I'm going to go home and go my birthplace. And Moshe suddenly freaks out. He said, why are you leaving? Vayomer al dat azov utanu. Don't leave. We're in the desert. We don't know where to go. So Yoni Grossman said, what do you mean you don't know where to go? Isn't the whole point of Bamidbar that you know exactly where to go? That there's an ohel, there's an anan over the ohel, that there's a cloud of God leading you. What do you mean we're desperate for you? We don't know how to get out of the desert. If you come with us, the good that God does for us will be good for you. But shouldn't he have heard in his own voice, God's with us, why do I need chovav? Right? It's very nice for him to stay, but because I need you to lead me? So what does the Torah do? Instead of telling you whether he stayed, it tells you the way the story should have continued, which was, Vayisu mehar Adonai derech shloshet yamim, Varon brit Adonai noseh lifneim derech shloshet yamim latur lahem minucha. They traveled with the Aron in front of them, telling them where to rest. The Torah is criticizing Moshe. It doesn't tell you whether Chovav stayed, because Moshe may have been desperate, because he thought they needed Chovav to lead them through the desert. But the Torah leaves it ambiguous, because God is telling you that's not important. That's not part of this story. You want Chovav to stay with you because he's your brother-in-law or your father-in-law or whoever he is? Fine. But don't tell me it's important to find out whether he stayed because you need him to tell you how to get through the desert. You don't need him to let you know how to get through the desert. The cloud of God is over the camp. And then Moshe learns that lesson, because what happens? The next pasuk is Vayom Vayhi ben So Aaron, when the Aaron would trend, Vayomer Moshe, Kum Hashem, Vayvutzoy Vecha. Suddenly it sinks in that it's the Aaron. So Yoni Grossman said, you know why there's so much confusion about this story, so much ambiguity? It's not despite Moshe's desperation. It's trying to abruptly reorient you. It's trying to tell you that you missed the story. That Moshe is there pleading, Chovav, we need you. We don't know how to travel through the desert. You know the desert. You're a nomad. You grew up in the desert. How are we ever going to get through this? How are we going to get to Israel? We need your help. And you're waiting. Is Chovav going to say yes? Is he going to say no? Or are they going to have a guide? And the Torah just drops it, because Moshe thought it was important, but God didn't. God says, what do you need, Chovav? You know how the story really ends? The story doesn't end with whether Chovav stays or not. So Chovav does stay. But even if Chovav does stay, he's not going to be Vahitam Lilein. He's not going to be your eyes in the desert. I'm the eyes in the desert. He doesn't stay? Also no big deal. It doesn't matter whether he stays or not. You think it matters? Because why is the story here? But Midbar is about the Jews traveling through the desert. The story is here to tell you that Moshe thought that to succeed, he needed Chovav. And God tells you at that moment of desperation, and you're wondering, with the cliffhanger, did he stay? Instead of telling you yes or no, God just says, that's an irrelevant story. That's just not the point. I'm here. I'm leading you through the desert. And then for all that ambiguity, right? Even if you didn't catch all the details, right? Who is who? When? What? Where? What? Yoni Grossman said that's the whole point. The whole point is that Moshe makes a huge deal of Chovav staying. But the Torah itself couldn't care less. The Torah is saying it's very nice. He's an important person. But if the reason you think it's important to find out whether he stayed is because you think you need a guide, no. Remember what Bamidbar is all about. Bamidbar is the story of how we get to Eretz Yisrael through the Midbar, not because of Chovav, and not because of Moshe, and not because of anybody, because Vahi ben Soa Aaron, when the Aaron would travel, Vayomer Moshe, Kum Hashem, Vayafutzoy Vecha, God walked in front of them. And therefore all that confusion, ambiguity is intentional. It's to make you feel the abrupt stop in the story, to be there with a cliffhanger, and then wonder, why does the story pick up? You know, it's like if you're watching a movie, right? You know, you could end a story, right? You could, you know, it would be like this, right? You see it, the guy is the whatever, I don't know, the terrorist is there about to press the nuclear bomb, whatever, bring about nuclear Armageddon. And you're wondering, and someone's there pleading with him, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then the screen splits, and it doesn't see whether he touches a button. Instead, right, I think there is a movie actually like this. My parents showed it to me a long time ago. It was like the H-bomb or something, right, like a 1950s movie or something, black and white. Right? Where instead, what you find out is that it's a dud. Right? Because then it becomes irrelevant. All the drama, all the emotion, is he going to press it? Is he going to blow up the country? Comes irrelevant when you find it was a dud. It doesn't matter what he did anymore. Right? The destiny of the movie was decided when it turned out that the bomb was a dud. Right? So that's what's going on here. Right? Now remember, it was the Q-Bomb, I think the Q-Bomb. I don't remember what the movie was. It is. The Mouse That Roared. The Mouse That Roared. Wow, there's a... What?
You remember?
Like The Mouse That Roared. I remember my parents used to like show me these old movies. But that's the end of this movie, The Mouse That Roared, is that the bomb, they're like trying to convince them not to blow up. This small little country invents the Q-Bomb, which is like this insane beyond nuclear bomb. And they end up, you know, getting these huge concessions out of the United States because, you know, they win the war. And then at the end of the movie, you see that the Q-Bomb falls on the floor and nothing happens. And they find it's a dud and they're like, just don't tell the U.S., right? Because then, you know, but that's basically what happened here is the movie just splits, right? God says, you know, all that drama was irrelevant, right? That wasn't the real story. The real story happened a long time ago, is that God was leading them through. So the Torah purposely makes it ambiguous and just drops the story in the middle and picks up with the real storyline. The real storyline isn't, is Chovav coming? The storyline is, the Jews will be fine, no matter what happens, no matter who goes with them, because God is in front of them. Right, so if you just look at the end, right, is just look at the second paragraph, right, the very last paragraph at the end. It said, the irony of Moshe's invitation to Chovav arises from Moshe's own formulation of it. As mentioned, his first attempt emphasizes God's kindness to the nation. Right? He said, this is why there are two levels, because it's specifically that second one that's important. At the beginning, that would have been fine. If Moshe had just said, come, stay with us, God is with us, that is the point of Bamidbar. Join the Jews because God is good to the Jews. If he'd stopped there, so then, if Yitro had said, sure, I'll stay, that would have been in theme. That would have been the theme of Bamidbar. God is good to the Jews, and therefore people want to stay with the Jews. But that's Moshe's first request. Right, as mentioned, his first attempt emphasized God's kindness to his nation, and more attention devoted to that than to the invitation itself. Thus, we do actually detect the general message of this unit. God has promised good to his people, and as he will lead them on the way. Chovav's reaction is omitted from the text because in a profound sense it's not significant. It's not he who is destined to lead the nation on their long journey through the desert, but rather God. The nation must internalize the message that it is not Chovav's eyes that they need, but rather God's eyes that wander throughout the earth. It is not the mortal who will protect them on the way, but rather God's direct providence. Right. So I think when you take the story of Chovav, right, with all its complexity of figuring out who Yitro is and Chovav is and Reuel is and all those people, and then figuring out whoever they are, how many times did they come, when did it happen, first year, second year, two travels, multiple, right, two different people, two different stories, all those complexity are important to understand just the chronology of Tanakh. But the reason that the particular unit of Chovav is put right here in Bamidbar and is left ambiguous, and you have to go through these mental gymnastics to try to figure out what happened when, is because, as he said, the real emphasis of the story is Moshe's misunderstanding of the theme of Bamidbar and his education, which was Moshe saying, come with us because God is good for us. That's the message of Bamidbar. But then he says no, and Moshe suddenly freaks out and says, I can't do it without you. How am I going to get through the desert? And God pushes us back to the real story, which was how Moshe started. No, God is with us. It's going to be good. He's the one leading you. You don't need Chovav. It's not an important part of the story. That's just irrelevant. That's all in Moshe's head. Right? Moshe thinks this is an important story, but in the grand scheme of things, the theme of Bamidbar is that this isn't important. And that's why it comes here, because as I said, the theme of the whole book of Bamidbar is, what does it mean? What does it look like for God to lead us through the desert, lead us to Eretz Israel? And that's what Hashem reorients you to. It said, I don't care what happens to Chovav. Go, you want to figure out who he is? Good luck. Right? Good luck figuring out what actually happened here. But the upshot of the story is really, that the Aron is what leads us, and therefore all of this is just details, it's just fun facts. And that's really the message of all of Sefer Bamidbar, which is why the Chovav story is split off from the Yitro story, even if it's the same story, and put in Bamidbar. So that's the story of Chovav, which I'd never before, sort of this week, actually sat down to try to figure out. It is so, so confusing. But I think its general message is very powerful and aids in the understanding of the theme of Bamidbar overall. Okay.